This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great day where the issue of abortion is front and center, but there are other issues that continue to rumble through our consciousness and our political system, maybe. And one of those issues, of course, what is happening to our economy, what is happening to our budget. President Biden saying today that he is certainly virtually guarantees that Build Back Broke agenda is fully paid for the and it will actually reduce the deficit. This is the new math, another indication that we need better education in mathematics, reading, and other things across our schools. And then news from Philadelphia that Philly hit the highest murder level. We're just beginning December now, so there's time for them to go even higher. The 506 people killed in the city of brotherly love, which is extraordinary. 506, that's the highest since 1990. That's 31 years. Think about it. Somebody who has thought about it and thought about it a lot and written about it very well is Damon Linker of The Week. And he joins us now, a senior correspondent. He's written a fascinating piece about why murder rates are spiking, not just in big, big cities like Philadelphia, but in smaller, medium-sized cities. Damon, what's the surprise here about these medium-sized cities?
Well, as I'm sure you and your listeners know, crime, especially violent crime, hit really terrible peaks at the very end of the 80s and especially through the early 90s. That was a period where New York City topped out at an absolutely appalling and astonishing 2,200 deaths from violent crime a year in the early 90s. And then we went off a cliff, and those numbers really went down. They went down all over the United States. It was a huge achievement. But over the last couple of years, they have started to go up again. Now, in New York City, the murder rate remains pretty low, at about, a fifth to a sixth as high as it was in the early 90s. But in a whole series of medium-sized cities, including Philadelphia, where I live just outside of the city, but also many others, Louisville, Cincinnati, Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Jacksonville, Rochester, on and on and on, many others. We are now seeing cities coming in at, above, or just below those peaks of the early 90s. And as you noted, my local case, Philadelphia, just surpassed 506 homicides on the year, which is the highest ever recorded, six higher than the record from 1990, which was 500. And as you also noted, we have a whole other month to go, so that's bound to climb higher. And this is atrocious, and it's actually not just medium-sized cities. Shortly after my piece was posted yesterday, Tuesday, I saw a story about Chicago, which is obviously a large city. They have now topped 1,000 homicides for the first time since 1994. Again, the early 90s. So we're seeing this across the country. It isn't all crime going up, but the most violent, horrible crime is going up. And as I talk about in my piece, what's particularly unfortunate about it is a lot of this seems to have begun really spiking with the protests, riots, and other unrest in cities a year and a half ago after the George Floyd killing. And this was, of course, about racial injustice, police brutality, and those are big problems in this country. But it is also terrible for those same populations of often black Americans in our cities when crime is allowed, violent crime is allowed to go up like this, because who are the victims? Black Americans. So, yes, it's terrible if a cop overreacts and kills a black suspect or just a random person who happens to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But it's also pretty darn bad if hundreds and hundreds of residents of the city are dying in violent criminal acts. In Philadelphia, for example, 83% of those 506 homicide victims were black. Only 10% were Hispanic, 7% white, 1% Asian, and the victims were also 88% male. So you multiply this across all those cities, and this is an epidemic of death of black Americans. And so those of us who care about justice, not just the so-called social justice that you have when you oppose cops overreacting and killing people, usually, I think, by accident, but still, it's not good. Those are armed agents of the state doing that, and we shouldn't be in favor of that. But by the same token, don't we also owe it to the same members of our population to save them from dying from gunshot wounds on the streets of our cities? We should be appalled that this is being allowed to happen around the country.
And of course we should. And there's also the idea of a disparate impact that is such a big slogan of what people call the social justice movement, what you were alluding to beginning in the summer of 2020. Damon Linker, you were just mentioning that the ratio of black victims to white victims, 7% white victims among the more than 500 people who've been murdered in Philadelphia so far this year, and 7% white people, 83% black people. That's what you said? Okay.
Yeah.
The question about this, and this is a complicated conversation that I was having with somebody who also studies law enforcement, is it's amazing to me that there is less rage about this injustice. And one of the reasons I think that's the case is there's an assumption that most of or all of these 83% murder victims are gang members, that it has to do with people who are involved in gang activity themselves. So in other words, they're sort of saying that some of the victims are at fault, but that is not true. The victims are often little children. They're people going about their business. It's grandmothers. It is a fallacy, is it not, to think that these numbers that we're seeing are all street gangs?
Of course. I mean, just think about it in like sensible, common sense terms. Like, even if a lot of the violence arises from gang battles on the streets, we're talking about allowing the streets of our cities to become battlefields where gang members are pulling heavy weaponry on each other, firing bullets that often miss their targets, and then end up, as you said, striking school kids waiting for a bus, going into a window or through a wall and killing someone in their apartment. Like, that's not an excuse to turn a blind eye to this violence, even if some of it is a result of gang violence. We shouldn't be allowing our cities to be places where gangs shoot each other out in the open. This is the Wild West or something worse. I mean,
okay,
part of civilization is to want peace on our streets.
Damon Linker, you has mentioned a moment ago that we need to do something about it. Maybe we can talk about it. Do you have a few more moments to speak about what it is that can be done? We should do that. We should also tell you we've just found out the name of the suspect. His name is Ethan Crumbly. This is the suspect in Oakland, Michigan, who took four lives. Some really horrifying details about that crime, which we can get to as well. That and more coming up on the MedVet Show. Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener's Square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
And on the Michael Medved show, Damon Linker, in his powerful piece in The Week, which is posted up at our website at michaelmedved.com, makes the point that we have some terrifying similarities between the sudden crime rise that took place in this country actually over the course of 30 years from, say, the mid-1960s until the mid-1990s, and then crime went down. And now it is going up and up and up in a horrible way, and we see it all around us. And one of the differences, and maybe it is a similarity at the same time, is that people were indignant about crime for a long time before there was actually meaningful change that helped to bring it down. And I hope that it will be different this time, that because of methods of communication and because of maybe some political action that is possible, we will act more promptly to try to stop this explosion of criminal violence before it gets completely out of hand. Damon Linker, you were talking about doing something about the staggering rise in murders across the country in cities of every size. What can be done?
Well, in a slogan, I'd say refund the police. You know, the defund the police slogan that got bandied about around the George Floyd protest by some progressive
and tried in some places. They tried.
They tried to implement it out in Portland. They did in Minneapolis itself, where the George Floyd killing took place. They tried it, and it's ended up being shot down by voters, thank goodness. Now, I'm in favor of better training for police officers. You want them to as much as possible, under terrible situations of stress, to keep their cool, not overreact, not be trigger happy, because they're afraid, understandably, in those situations. So we should be in favor of that, but we do not need fewer police officers. We do not need to be funding them with less than we used to. The answer is to have more police officers on the street who are better trained, able to de-escalate violent situations. And that doesn't necessarily mean going for quite all of the mass incarceration that came out of the 1980s and 90s with the drug war. I was in favor of some of the kind of libertarians and Donald Trump got together during the last administration and had some, I thought, very good reforms in criminal prosecutions to try to limit jail sentences for nonviolent offenses. I'm all in favor of that. But it's also the case that if you do have an illegal weapon, if you fire it, if you injure anyone, let alone kill them, you need to be caught and locked up. A lot of these cases are happening because police departments are so strapped for cash and personnel that a lot of murders are going unsolved. They simply never get looked into and never put to bed. And that is at the absolute terrible, most terrible message you can send. It's like saying anti-deterrence is what we're doing. You can kill someone and get away with it. That's the absolute worst thing that can be done. So we need to make sure there are more police officers on the street.
Okay, well, that's certainly... But what about what those police officers do? One of the successes that we had before was following up on James Q. Wilson's broken windows effect. The idea that if you have parts of a city that are completely broken down and abandoned, and there are people sleeping in empty lots, and there's graffiti everywhere, it's a message to people that there's no authority here, that there are no rules. And it encourages crime. And I know that part of what Bill Bratton and Rudy Giuliani, two names who were very important in the successful war against crime, one of the things that they talked about was, okay, like right now, every big city has homeless encampments everywhere. And it's a completely understandable connection between neighborhoods where people are shooting up openly, people are dealing drugs, people are doing petty theft, and they're doing very violent crime, and going to bed at night in a sleeping bag in a city park. It's not a city park you can go to anymore. Do you think that we have abandoned the policing theory of the broken windows effect prematurely? Don't we need to go back to it?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I worked for Rudy Giuliani and very much supported his policies. I think the Bloomberg administration in New York went a little bit too far in the other direction with the kind of stop and frisk policy that randomly picks people out on the street and subjects them to a frisk. I think that that's unnecessarily provocative, and there's no real evidence that it has done much to help. But what did help was the COPSTAT program that Bill Bratton in New York put into effect, which is to just use technology to trace where the crime is happening, and then you swoop in and you cover that neighborhood with more cops than before, and you make sure that bad events don't get worse. In fact, they get better. And then the James Q. Wilson broken windows theory definitely is worth going back to, both because it can lead to worse crime when it feels chaotic in the city, but just intrinsically, you don't want, if you live outside of San Francisco, why do you want to feel like, oh, you don't want to go downtown as if the place is controlled by and run by homeless people who are defecating on the sidewalk? That's not the way a leading country with a high standard of living allows its cities to be. It's just not, it's not American, it's not civilized, and we need to stop it. So all of these things are connected and they're all important.
And they all are very valid, very necessary political issues. This is Damon Linker, his piece about the rise in crime, particularly in medium-sized cities, extremely persuasive, and I appreciate your joining us. Here's what we know now about the suspect in Oakland, Michigan. His name is Ethan Crumley. The picture shows a sort of you describe as a nerdish looking guy, very harmless. He looks younger than 17, at least in the pictures they're showing. He's a sophomore at the high school where authorities say he shot 11 people yesterday, including four students who died. Among the other victims is a 14-year-old girl who's on a ventilator clinging to life. According to Oakland County Sheriff Mike Bouchard, the 9mm semi-automatic pistol used in the shooting was purchased by Crumbly's father just days ago on November 24th. At 10 a.m. Tuesday before the shooting, Bouchard said Crumley and his parents had a face-to-face meeting with school administrators at the school. Bouchard said law enforcement did not learn about that meeting until after the shooting, and he cannot discuss what was discussed in the meeting at that time.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says a person with the Omicron variant of the COVID-19 virus has been identified in California. The person had returned to the United States from a trip to South Africa on November 22nd. All their known contacts have so far tested negative for the variant. Chief Medical Advisor to President Biden, Dr. Anthony Fauci, describing the patient's condition.
The individual was fully vaccinated and experienced mild symptoms, which are improving at this point.
Speaking in Washington, D.C., President Biden updates the nation on his administration's work to address issues plaguing the United States, including inflation and supply chain issues. The president says retail issues shouldn't be a problem this holiday season. Biden adding that production at ports is improving as well. USA Radio News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Medved show, the idea that the father of the mass killer, and again, with four children, and they are children, now dead in the shooting in Oakland County, Michigan, and with the young man apparently having received the murder weapon, I don't know why, just 4 days ago, and he's 15. The prosecutor says that his office is considering charges against both parents. There's also, they have said, the authorities now in Michigan, that the evidence of premeditation is irrefutable. They have video. They have all sorts of indications that this Ethan Crumbly actually planned this horrible crime. And again, it's going to, with so much on America's plate right now. Speaking of gross behavior, the demonstrations in front of the Supreme Court on all sides are somewhat alarming. There were abortion activists who took a fairly direct way to try to get attention, basically chanting while the court was listening to the legal arguments in the oral arguments that were presented today, the chanting pro-abortion protesters actually sounded like this. This is clip one.
Abortion!
abortion pills forever. A lot of enthusiasm there. Does that basically indicate that they believe that that this particular quote right, constitutional right, is going to come down to pills? One of the arguments that was made, I believe it was by Justice Kavanaugh, and who made the point, well, we will get to that, but very pleased and honored to welcome to the show Dr. Al Mohler, who is a friend of mine and is one of the most important thinkers of our time. He is the author of a remarkable book that I was very pleased and proud to endorse. It's called The Gathering Storm, and it's about all of these issues that we've been talking about today, about crime and basic morality, and yes, the issue of abortion, which was debated in the court today. He's written 9 books. He is the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, which is the flagship school of America's largest Protestant denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention. Al, it's great to speak to you. I imagine you were riveted by the oral arguments today before the court.
You bet I was, Michael. Always good to be with you. But it was well worth the time. We were listening to history unfold. And it's as if you could look past, say, the last 50 years and see arguments that have finally arrived in their quintessential form on both sides.
And do you share the very clear impression that I think is unmistakable that they seem to be leaning to sustaining that Mississippi law?
You know, I think the logic of the conservatives on the court, tied to the Constitution and to the text of the Constitution, means that eventually they cannot vote to sustain what was patently a political and ideological invention rather than a rightful inference from the Constitution. And so, you know, this case has come on the heels of so many others where there was basically an admission even from the liberals on the court that Roe wasn't really a constitutional argument. And that became very clear today. And, you know, again, it's as if finally the two honest answers collided.
And those two honest answers?
Does the Constitution in any way imply that the federal government has a right to tell the states they can't restrict abortion? And you had the clear argument coming from one side saying, yes, simply because we want it to be so. And from the other side, in which there's the answer to, if the Constitution means anything, that it means what its words say. And there is simply no plausibility to the idea that that the American Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, requires the states to bow to the federal government on an issue of the sanctity of human life.
Okay. The answer to that was tried, attempted by Elizabeth Preligar, who's the Solicitor General of the United States, former Miss Idaho, by the way, she put forward the argument that, yes, the court has overturned prior decisions. It overturned Plessy versus Ferguson, the separate but equal decision, with Brown versus School Board, for instance. But this court has never before overturned a decision and thereby contracted, reduced, or erased a previously granted right. Do you agree with her that this would be the first time? And if so, is that okay?
Well, it's an atomistic way of looking at it, isn't it? And in other words, saying the only meaningful unit here is an individual and what rights that individual may claim in a constitutional order. That's not the sole factor in our Constitution, nor in the issue of its framing. It has to do with the rights and responsibilities both of the citizen and of the government and its respective domains, which include the state and the federal governments, as addressed in the Constitution. And so I understand her argument, but it was really interesting, Michael. She went so far as to argue that even when a decision is grievously in error, it should stand as a precedent. And again, as an astounding statement made by the pro-abortion side here.
No, and entirely true. What about the battles to come? because they're going to be ferocious. Regardless, this issue isn't going away. It's not going to be settled once and for all. And if it's settled in the way that, I believe, which will be basically overturning Casey, but preserving some little shred of Roe, part of what's going to happen is ferocious political combat in state after state. What do you think that will mean for people of faith, and what do you think it will mean politically?
Well, I think it's going to depend upon where you live, right? I'm in the state of Kentucky. It'll be overwhelmingly pro-life, no question about it. If I lived in the state of Massachusetts as a biblical Christian, I would understand that's a very liberal state, and it's unlikely that the state of Massachusetts is going to reach any other political conclusion at this point. But, you know, the point is that I do believe that that the states are the appropriate place for this legislation to be undertaken. And that means we'll win some and we'll lose some. But at least it will be a legitimate democratic process undertaken state by state. And, you know, we are looking at the fact that people may at some point, as they have throughout different points of human history, decide, you know, I'm going to live in the state of Texas rather than in the state of Washington. There are reasons beyond geography that people make those decisions.
Al Mohler, his book, The Gathering Storm, his postings we posted at our website about the events of today. What about somebody going to prison because he bought a Lamborghini? We'll get to that and more on The Medved Show.
Very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free, so I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain, the whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN, Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal. and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Said the night wind to the little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
And on the Michael Medved show, this is a season of gift giving. It's a season of generosity. It's a season where we had Giving Tuesday yesterday. It says a great day to support worthy charities all around the country. But right now, an individual in Texas is in a great deal of trouble because he gave some gifts to himself. And I'm one of those people, I don't like it when people look at other people who've been very successful and they just want to crack down on them. Here's the story. The guy is named Lee Price III. He's 30 years old. He's a very enterprising guy. And he recently rewarded himself because of some of his success by purchasing a Rolex watch, which of course can be thousands of dollars, a Ford F-350 truck, and he got a Lamborghini Urus, which is about a $250,000 car, maybe more. It's a tough car and tough to get, but he got one. So good for him, right? Well, he's going to prison for 9 years. The problem was it wasn't his money that he used to buy things. Lee Price III, 30, pleaded guilty to wire fraud and money laundering because he had received $1.6 million in PPP loan funds. That was that first big chunk of relief that came from the federal government to try to prevent us from falling into a deep recession because of the pandemic. It kind of worked. The PPP loan funds, $1.6 million, went to this guy. How? Because he submitted, basically on applications, used the names of a person who had died before the documents were submitted. And he received the money anyway. In the paperwork, he also fudged payroll expenses and the number of employees he purportedly had at three separate businesses, according to the court documents. Price used some of the ill-gotten gains, as mentioned, to buy a Rolex, a Ford 350, a Lamborghini Urus, and more. Authorities have recovered about $700,000 left over of the fraudulently acquired money. He's going to prison for 9 years. And again, particularly when you're talking about a time of COVID-19 and the actual value of those funds to the country and to the economy and to legitimate businesses. Okay, speaking of legitimate businesses, there's a powerful piece in Forbes magazine has a piece with the headline, 30% of U.S. adults are still unvaccinated. Here's what could make them finally get the shot. Some Americans resistant to getting vaccinated against COVID-19 could be persuaded to get a jab by easing access, coaxing by family and friends, and addressing safety concerns, while the idea of free incentives to get the shot aren't as persuasive, new research suggests. And look, the one of the things that has been surprising is that generally lotteries are very, very popular in the country, obviously. They generate lots of funds. Why have the giving away lottery tickets meant so little in terms of successfully promoting the COVID vaccines? And part of the idea there is I think people know that it's a long shot to get a lottery ticket to think you're going to win anything. You usually don't. So they're used to that, and they may say that, well, it's a long shot also that I'm going to have any negative reaction to the vaccines. But they think, well, one long shot, another long shot, nah. People have gotten so much information about the vaccines. But here was a survey from the Deloitte Center of Health Solutions conducted at the end of the summer that included 1,200 unvaccinated U.S. adults. They found 34% would likely get the shot if it was offered during a routine doctor's appointment, including 17% of those who say they currently refuse to get vaccinated. In other words, a substantial percentage of those who say, I just refuse to get vaccinated, I won't do it, would actually do it if they went to the for a doctor's appointment and the doctor said, okay, you know, come on, it's not going to hurt, you won't feel bad for more than a couple of hours, chances are, go ahead. If of the unvaccinated respondents who said they plan to get the shot, and by the way, if you're still planning, fulfill the plan. I mean, come on, you can do it. It's not that difficult. And again, they are now making it more and more available, and that's a positive development. And part of what comes out here is the Forbes reports. It's now 70.2%. That's the percentage of U.S. adults who are now fully vaccinated against COVID-19 as of this week, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Though it's even more, it's now 81% have received at least a first dose. And if you have received a first dose by getting a second dose and then shortly thereafter boosting it up, getting a booster, you can greatly improve your odds and reduce that rate of infection and help the entire country. I think some of the madness has retreated a little bit about the alarm and the conspiratorial nature of what people believe is involved with the vaccines. Right now, the one thing that everybody who's looked at this Omicron thing, and for the Omicron aspect, there was a funny line that Brett Stevens used over at the New York Times, where he said, we discovered dry kernels of creamed corn on Thanksgiving, and we also discovered the Omicron variant. And he says, I think the corn went down better than the cron. Okay, fine. So a little bit of humor in the Omicron situation. It is so remarkable to see how people respond to basically the slightest hint of a revival of the vaccine and the entire thing going on and continuing to prey on our population, how that impacts the markets and the economy and the terrible day we had yesterday, better today. But the polling has shown many parents are still unsure of or opposed to vaccinating their child, though an October Ipsos poll found many will be swayed by tactics like recommendation from their child's health care provider, vaccine mandates in schools, or full FDA approval for the vaccine in children. A vaccine hesitancy and refusal has been a widespread issue throughout the vaccine rollout, and misinformation about the shots has been pervasive. Despite evidence showing the shots are safe and effective, particularly protecting against severe illness, severe hospitalization, and death, polling has shown unvaccinated people cite concerns about side effects and how quickly the shots were approved as among the biggest reasons for opposing the shot. And demographics like Republicans, rural residents, and younger Americans have been among the biggest groups to hold off on getting vaccinated. It's what's extraordinary about this is that younger people are part of this, when those other elements, like younger people are much less likely to be a Republican, they're much less likely to live in the countryside, because many young people in the younger generation want to go and are motivated to go to big cities. And at this point, there's another... this is ahead of a very, very prosperous and successful television network in the Christian sphere, and one where they actually got some COVID money, which was later came out was scandalous, to buy a private jet. The head of that network, who had been preaching against vaccines, he passed away, and it's sad. It's not necessary. Coming up on the Michael Medved Show, we're going to be talking with Wilfred Riley about the Jesse Smollett case and the hate crimes hoax and more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
901-424-5280. 901-424-5280. That's 901-424-5280.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers, but if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.